8. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight, as we've got a couple more football games over the weekend in the books. The Hoosiers and the Colts both victorious. Colts not exactly emphatic by any stretch over the winless 49ers, but they did get it done in overtime eventually. Adam Vinatieri's field goal on Peyton Manning Day up in Indianapolis. And the Hoosiers with new football, new quarterback rather, Peyton Ramsey, they did enough. They win 27-0 over the Charleston Southern Buccaneers, who were unable to generate much of anything on offense, and some very good defense by the Hoosiers. And the offense with the new quarterback, as you could imagine, some good, some bad. Nothing horrendous, but 27 points. You know, hiccups and things like that, as you might expect with a new quarterback. But they got a game under Peyton Ramsey's belt as the guy, and that's is important. And the coaches are very pleased that they did so before they head to the homecoming game this coming Saturday at home against Michigan, which has been announced noon this Saturday on ABC nationally. So some nice recognition for the Hoosiers here eventually. But Glass, Charleston Southern, we knew they weren't going to be much of a roadblock for these Hoosiers. The whole question became what does and what did the offense look like under Peyton Ramsey? How did he handle being the guy? Were there any extra plays, any extra offense put into it? Did he show any signs of nervousness, any of those sorts of things? And I think you could probably point to a little bit of all of that, but mostly I saw a team that I've kind of seen a lot of that offense, at the very least, in the last couple of years, just without the running quarterback so much. Peyton Ramsey ran it pretty well when they got going. The one thing that stood out to you when you watched the tape is just how fast they got up to the line. They hadn't been doing quite that much tempo the last year and a half, but they really put the tempo back in with Peyton Ramsey.
Yeah, they did. And same thing you saw a little bit against Georgia Southern as well. It was a controlled hurry-up. But at the end of the day, they took what the defense gave them, and he threw 30 passes in the first half. So people wondering how the passing game would work out with him being the full-time quarterback. Well, I think you saw just about every ball in the arsenal yesterday, and some of it Saturday. You didn't see the whole playbook. We asked Mike DeBoard about that specifically today, and he said no, once the rain hit and things started going 27-0, there wasn't any reason to bring out all the stops. So no, you've not seen him do everything yet. But
it makes more sense to work on the stuff you're going to run frequently rather than all the
stops.
Yeah,
25 for 30 in the first half. I guess the one knock you could put on it was they didn't probably run the ball as effectively as they would like to, and that's been a part of their Achilles heel a little bit on offense. And again, turnovers finding a way into the repertoire to slow some things down at a red zone turnover as well. You talked about only having 27 points. You probably lost about a quarter and 4 minutes once that rain rained sideways. Nobody was doing anything in that. The water almost pooling on the field. That was just handed off. Don't turn it over. Get the clock rolling. So, in a three quarter scrimmage, I would say Indiana did exactly what you needed to do. But the one thing that he looked very comfortable. He didn't try to make any plays again that he probably shouldn't have made. Now, did he make all the right reads and all the right decisions? No, nobody does in a game. Football's not a game about being perfect. But what Peyton Ramsey didn't do was anything that Peyton Ramsey doesn't need to do. He didn't try to be a window thrower 25 yards down the field. He didn't try to
it was almost all short stuff. I mean,
the play wasn't there, he didn't try to break seven tackles and keep it going.
I didn't count too many balls that went past 15 yards.
No.
Not too many. In fact, they went past 10 yards in the air. So, you know, trying to get the quick stuff. And when you're going to run that kind of hurry up, I mean, that's part of the point is to be able to hit the quick stuff, get going, get a few yards here and there.
And it's not running the ball. I understand that, but it's almost just as good as it if you take one step, drop, knock it out, and throw it, and move it, and get it going. Well, that's what happens
as long as you complete it.
And that was the thing, 25 of 30 in the first half. That wasn't the issue at all. You saw him complete, 11 in a row at Virginia to get his career started. So that doesn't seem to be the huge problem, but we haven't seen it downfield to a degree yet. The other point was their corners were playing off of them, and that's what they had. So if that's what they're going to give you, that's what you're going to take. And Mike DeBoard, the offensive coordinator, has talked about that from day one since he's been asked about his offense. we don't need the quarterback to be the hero. We need the quarterback to take what he's given, stay within the rules of the game. They keep talking about those. I don't know exactly what those rules are, but they have rules to their plays that that they need to follow. And when they do so, the turnovers aren't coming from interceptions. The turnovers are coming from loose ball carrying.
Right.
The one that was picked was tipped at the line of scrimmage. A guy kicks it up in the air. The defensive end catches it. I mean, okay. That's going to happen every once in a while. Right. But the other fumbles, not too thrilled about that. So when you throw it all in there, the good news was, if you heard what Ramsey said after the game, he's like, yeah, I was glad to get it out and get going before we got into the full Big Ten. It was nice to have that full week of me being the number one guy, getting all the reps in practice, getting all this, getting all that. And nothing against Charleston Southern, but that was probably a blessing perhaps in disguise that the bye week got moved. So you have this before, if you made this change before going into the bye week and then Michigan, and Michigan's the first time you take the car out of the garage. That's a little bit different. If you watch that game against Michigan State on Saturday night, my ribs hurt from watching that game. There was some violence in that football game. And
certainly going to be different defense, quality of defense that you face. No
hugely
question.
Different quality of defense, speed and physicality and everything else that goes with that. But I thought overall it was good. Yes, everybody would have loved to have seen the football run a little bit better. But when you're talking about a team, Dave, that's not scoring a ton of points, that's been an issue with it, you can't expect all pieces of your offense to be firing. It would be nice to do so, but you'd be ranked in the top 20 if that was the case, and life would be a little bit different. It needs to get better, I agree.
Look, the offensive line was not going to be solved by putting Peyton Ramsey in, and that's still going to be an issue of growth on the offensive line. It still has to improve. It has to grow up. It has to get better. I mean, those things all have to happen. Can Peyton Ramsey generate some running game with his legs? Yeah, I mean, just
no
naturally.
Doubt about it.
I mean, the read option is good football. You know, it's not the only way to play football, but it is good football. Now, you go up against a disciplined defense, they're going to make it harder on you. You know, I know they list Peyton Ramsey. I think they list him at 6'3". He does not
look... No, he's not. They list him at 6'.
Okay, there's I was going to say,
no
he, does, he does not look that.
I stood right next to him, and I'm
6'3". They list him 6'2", 210. He looks smaller than that.
I don't think he's... He might be 6'2", with cleats on.
Yeah.
But...
he does not look like a particularly big guy.
But he's legitimately 6 feet tall. He's not a 6-footer that's 5'9", let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, but he's still not 6'2", or 6'3".
No, but what he is he's slippery.
He's going to take a lot of hits.
He's slippery? That's the good news?
He's going to take a lot of hits. And he's going to face defenses that don't even compare to Charleston Southern. Was it good to get this one under the books? Absolutely. I mean, anytime you can get any experience for the kid, it's absolutely a good idea to get him out there, get him in the rhythm of doing it. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world.
Right.
I was interested by it because it just seemed to me like the only major difference that I saw on offense. Again, I knew with Peyton Ramsey you'd see more of the quarterback running the ball. I mean, you know that. That's the biggest difference you see right off the bat with Peyton Ramsey.
Account his movement. For 11.
Yeah, and he's not an inaccurate quarterback by any stretch. So, I mean, it's not like he can't complete passes and he's only a running guy. He's not. He's a good throwing quarterback, too. He puts the balls in places where guys can run with it. I mean, that's what you see, those slants. You know, they weren't always perfect right here, right in front of the guy's face and his hands, but it was in a spot where Simi Cobbs could catch it and make a quick play with it, you know?
And the other part of it...
It's a catchable-looking ball.
And the other part of it was the preparation week of the practice reps, getting all those reps, not 50 of them, all of them, 100% of them, leading the team, leading the line, leading into film room, doing all that stuff. That's something that you don't want to have the pressure on him during Michigan week. He's played fast defense. They play against Penn State's defense.
Virginia's defense was good.
Yeah, exactly right. So he has seen that live game action. So I think the more of the totality of what goes behind the scenes and on the field and knowing you're not coming out for any reason whatsoever, getting that behind you, you don't have to answer those questions Michigan week. You don't have to answer those questions in the huddle Michigan week. You don't have to answer those in film Michigan. That's done with and good. You can't do that during a bye week. I think having the opponent, having the game, you can mock it up all you want. It's different.
Right.
Everybody will tell you that. You want to make it the same. It's never the same. Playing against a scout team is never the same. Playing against Charleston Southern is better because they don't know what's coming. It's live, and you have a chance to work out some of those kinks and work out of those bugs. But the Big Ten starts now. Now the Big Ten season in earnest starts because there's no more out-of-conference games. You're going now. It's Michigan, at Michigan State, at Maryland, home Wisconsin.
Yeah.
At Illinois, Rutgers, Purdue, that's what's left. And the sooner you get into that rhythm, the better. And starting again, boy, Indiana's Big Ten schedule, Dave. Number 2, Ohio State. Number 5, Ohio State. And then now a Michigan team that was in the top 10 until they got beat at home 14-10 by Michigan State on Saturday night. You're going to test yourself. You're going to know where you are quickly with this new project you're putting together.
Well, the next 4 weeks are very difficult. I know everybody will say, hey, you got that trip to Maryland.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's not particularly easy. I know they haven't looked good the last week or two. But
Third-string quarterback last week.
It's going to be bumpy also. Let's not forget we're starting Peyton Ramsey for the first time in his career, too. So there's a lot to be done in the next couple of weeks, and certainly this week, because it is a different caliber. You know, as a dress rehearsal by playing Charleston Southern, you step way up in class, and there's certainly nobody questioning that. There were goods, there were bads. Again, you know, I thought for the most part, you come out of there relatively healthy. That's the good news, obviously. You give Peyton Ramsey. You know, again, what was interesting to me on the offensive side is it didn't look like a lot of different stuff, but the return of the hyper speed at several points in this game. I'm not sure if that's something that only kind of works in once they're able to give a maximum of reps to one of the two of them. I don't know that. I'm not sure what was different with Peyton Ramsey on the coach's side than was with Richard Lego. Again, you know, the running game part of things, but you know, they threw 41 balls too. You know, and that is, like you said, without a whole quarter of football too.
Yep.
So I mean, that was the interesting thing to me too, is, you know, for an offensive line that could use all the work it can get figuring out how to run the ball. To me, I kind of would have liked the live practice to figure out a little bit of that. Just like I said a couple weeks ago, you know, against Georgia Southern. At what point in time does the offensive line have, you know, do you think they're going to get the work in that's going to have them improve with that? Or are you literally just looking at this as, this is the offense right now, we're going to have to throw it 50 times a game? Because against Michigan, you're not going to run for the ball, probably like you did against Charleston Southern. You're going to have to toss it a little bit more.
Mike DeBoard said they're going to take what the defense gives them, and they've repeated that concept time and time and time again. So if guys are open, they have no problem with him throwing the ball. His accuracy numbers, as we've talked about, have panned out. Now what happens when those are taken away and you've got to run the ball between the tackles? Well, that's called Big Ten football. You're right. Is it something they need to do? I think there's no doubt about it, but it's something they're not forcing themselves to do. They're trying to get points. They're trying to find rhythm. They're trying to get the tempo moving. And guess what you can't do? Three and out doesn't get you tempo. Doesn't move it. So if you want to run first down, no gain, run on second down, get three, and it's third and seven, and then everybody in the building pretty much knows you're passing. I think they're just trying to find, I don't want to say identity, I think that's a little too deep, but I think they're just trying to structure what he's most comfortable doing, which is, I think he reads the game pretty well. I've noticed that. I haven't seen any, again, nothing glaring in the decision world that's doing that. But if receivers are open, it looks like he has full bore to get out of that play and start throwing it to receivers. So obviously him and Taysier Matt got on the same page after a last 2 weeks ago at Penn State, the picks, almost pick six to start.
What, he throw four or five to Simi Cobbs on the first drive of the game?
Knocking him out.
Yeah.
Knocking him out quickly. Mac caught seven. But Mac and him, some would argue that Mac didn't really play for the ball on that pick for Penn State, play three of the second half. Kind of looked off kilter. They looked more in rhythm. They looked more like they had it. They were scout team quarterback and scout team wide receiver last year. So get some guys some confidence. And at some point, you're going to have to be able to move the football against good teams. But against Ohio State, Indiana did the same thing with Lego. They threw the ball. They didn't settle. They didn't try to bust it up there and force the run. They just kind of took what was given. So I think that's part of that moving forward.
Yeah, there was more variation. I mean, you did not see a deep ball in this game that I remember completed. I mean, the longest gain by far was a 45-yard gain on a 15-yard pass.
Right.
I don't even know it went that far. In the air. I don't think it went that far downfield. It was a nice move by Taysier Mack to ditch a defender.
Guy tried to jump the route. Right.
Yeah, and turn the speed on. It was not a 45-yard pass. So that's the one other difference you saw, is that there wasn't a stretching of the field vertically.
Right.
Did there need to be? At least not successfully.
No, there didn't need to be.
Did there need to be?
Well,
no, not in this game.
Other thing you have to remember,
does there
as well
need to be down the stretch is the question. Because, again, a defense like Michigan, they're going to get up in your face out there. They are going to take away the slant from Simi Cobbs. They're not going to let you have that. They're going to force you, just like Ohio State did. They're going to force you to hit balls over the top. You got Simi Cobbs that can do it. You know, if Hale plays, he can do it. You know, the Taysier Mack's a nice big
kid.
That
was the issue. Hale did not play. Ian Thomas didn't play. And Ian Thomas always stretches the field down the seam.
They sat a couple kids in this one.
They did. And the other thing I think you look at, that Michigan's going to look at plenty of film and see all that. Let's hope those guys jump around. So let's hope that's part of their deal, because you know Mike DeBoard has been around this game way too long to just keep throwing vanilla out there. There's going to be something you can just almost sense it by when he said, hey, did you see the whole playbook? No, we didn't see the whole playbook. Nuts. There'll be something else there. I think it's the old chess match of, you want tendencies, we'll give you some tendencies, and then now you're going to have to see if you can break those tendencies. And that's why each week is an interesting matchup, every week.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with David Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers victorious over Charleston Southern, 27-0. First defensive shutout since 1993. Been a long time.
I was at that game. It was cold.
I was probably at that game.
My freshman year. Can't forget it.
Yeah.
We made it till halftime because it was that cold.
There you go.
And they were playing well and winning and gone to multiple bowl games. And what a difference 20-something years makes. Right? But multiple bowl games the last couple of years. So hopefully heading on the right track. Quick update for you. Houston beats Boston 5-4. They win that best-of-five series 3-1. Bottom of 7th in Wrigley. Bill Murray has just sung holding a goat and a black cat drinking an old-style. Washington 1, Chicago nothing. So the Cubbies.
So it's not working.
Well, they always say at the end of the 7th inning stretch, now let's get some runs in the traditional Harry Carey format. What's Max Scherzer? He's awfully good at what he does on the mound. Yeah. So there's your baseball update. Cleveland and the Yankees at 7:30 and Dodgers and D-backs. 7:08 Yankees and Cleveland, and then 10:08 Dodgers and D-backs there. Both those series could end tonight.
So again, the Hoosiers win 27-0, shut out Charleston Southern. Let's be just frank and fair about this. That was a ridiculous offense. Ridiculous, not very good. We will give Indiana's defense credit because Indiana defense, just like Georgia Southern, very disciplined, including on the pass game. They were 0-for-10 throwing the ball, and it was not because of ridiculous decisions on Charleston Southern's part. It was not because of ridiculous passes, even. There was some damn good coverage on guys, which would if you're keying on a running game, that would be maybe where you'd get hit, is on a couple passes here and there. But the Hoosier defense, very disciplined, saw it a couple weeks ago, remembered it clearly, at least to some degree, and made it very difficult on Charleston Southern. But again, that's a FCS team that is not Big Ten worthy, and Big Ten worthy is showing up this Saturday against Michigan. On the defensive side of the ball for the Hoosiers, I say it again, I don't love playing triple option teams when you don't face triple option on a regular basis against good teams.
Two of them.
Yeah, you got two of them in, but I do think there's something good you take out of that, and that is the discipline. I mean, it is.
Assignment football.
You yell at that all the time on the defensive side of the ball. It is so important that everybody do their job and everybody stick with the discipline of the defense, and when you have to hear it as much as you do to face a triple option team, it does stick with you. And so what's that going to mean down the line? Well, the good news is Michigan's offense is kind of partly in shambles right now. So
you're being kind.
So
Michigan State's offense doesn't move the ball.
They are
very
not walking
well
in here. Maryland's got a third string quarterback.
Doesn't move
it's
the
until
ball
Wisconsin
well
that you're going to face a really good offense.
Dynamic offense,
so
right.
You've got a chance, your defense does, to keep you in the next couple games without any question about it. And as long as they are disciplined and they continue the good tackling, they're going
to
be in it.
And the other part of that you have to remember and worry about as well, and worry is probably not the right word, but on a wet day for a quarter and a piece of it, and a team that ran the ball however many times at 50 plays and or whatever and ran 40 times, the Hoosiers didn't force any takeaways. And Tom Allen mentioned that specifically in his remarks today, where he pointed out we've gone through every tape opportunity, and through five games they've had 30 opportunities. Mm-hmm. They've charted every circumstance of why or why it hasn't happened. They've also done that with their own turnovers. So it's something that they are focusing on. They're trying to be preventative medicine or proactive in it and trying to find a way to do it. But that's the one thing that I think he talked about, them coming in waves and coming in bunches. And against Georgia Southern, that was the case, but mm-hmm. it was a quiet day against Penn State, and it was a quiet day against Charleston Southern as well. But I would trade the assignment football and more solid tackling, probably the most solid tackling, Dave, we've seen in a long time here, for three oopsie turnovers, and then that's the focus instead of guys missing arm tackles and they're running down the field and scoring on you.
Look,
there is a different side to that.
Takeaways are a hell of a lot more important for this defense against Michigan.
Yes, they are.
And Maryland and Wisconsin than they are against Charleston Southern. They are, because you're going to need, you know, those teams are going to move the ball a little bit on you. Charleston Southern wasn't going to move it on you, so you didn't need the big takeaway to kill a drive or to put your offense in position they couldn't get into on
their own. Charleston Southern had 12 punts and 1-for-14 on third down. So
yeah.
Give them some credit for the 1-for-13, absolutely. Give them credit for not allowing any points, absolutely. They did play plenty of twos and even threes near the end mm-hmm. in less than ideal conditions. So they've played, and Coach Allen brought this up today, and he's not wrong, because it sounds like he listens to our program, which I know he does not. He said it verbatim. He said, there have been 1AA teams come through here that
Absolutely.
Have scored 40-something points, mm-hmm. and Indiana hasn't shut them out.
That's right.
So he said, while we're not going crazy, we understand they're not a Big Ten opponent. We understand that they aren't the finest-tuned offense, but they had scored points against their level somewhere, throwing it and passing
right.
it. He said, we are going to celebrate that a lot, because, like you mentioned, it's what they preach. Get after it. Stop, guys. Tackle. Assignment. Make sure you're doing your job. And 0 points, you can look back at the schedule for the last 24 years, and you'll find a couple of head scratchers on there where you're wondering how those teams scored or scored that many on multiple staffs. So to do that, I think that they do get some credit. But Tom Allen made no bones about it, about saying this is something we're going to hang our hat on, put a banner up for. No, that's not the case at all. But they did do what they were told. They did do what they were coached. And obviously seeing the triple threat option, I mean, they were running all kinds of weird stuff in the backfield.
Yep.
For the second time, probably didn't hurt anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact was, they didn't get burned. They didn't get sucked in. They didn't do any of those things that sometimes a triple option causes problems with. So that is positive for me, because that defense has to play well against Michigan, at Michigan State,
right.
at Maryland. You're exactly right there. So that confidence can't possibly hurt anything going into big, bad Michigan walking in on homecoming Saturday.
No, look, you know, I'm not going to talk about how amazing it was that they shut out Charleston Southern, especially if you have to compare it back to 1993. Again, that 10-0 game was the most dominant 10-point victory I've ever seen in my life. Because I mean, that day they didn't let Michigan State do anything all day long. It was amazing. It was only a 10-point game. No, but what is interesting, you bring up the takeaway side of things. If you can shut somebody out, even a 1AA team, without forcing a bunch of turnovers. I am more impressed by doing it without a bunch of takeaways. You know, you get a fumble around the goal line, somebody's reach, you know, those kinds of things.
Balls tipped.
No, not even close.
Nope.
I mean, it wasn't even close. And so, again, I think there is something to be taken from those. Subpar defense or offenses, no question. But again, you know, you're going to face better offensive lines in the next couple weeks. The quarterbacks are going to be better. But these next couple offenses are not big, huge, powerful, explosive offenses.
Right.
They're going to be physical.
Powerful in that sense, but
they're going to be physical.
In cash register numbers.
Michigan is going to hit you with some play action type of stuff, you know. So that discipline, again, has got to come into play. John O'Korn has been throwing it away. Taylor Lewerke, I mean, they got their doors blown off at home against Notre Dame. I know Notre Dame's a nice team, but
they turn the ball over all the time.
Yeah, there are times where these offenses that are coming up have not looked spectacular. And this past weekend, you mentioned, very physical, very defensive. So
two pick sixes against Florida in that opening game.
Yeah.
That was mm-hmm. Spate. He was out.
That's
were going to play O'Korn. O'Korn has one touchdown and four picks. Last game, Michigan State against Michigan was the first time they were plus in turnover margin this season. So everybody gets a little bit better each week. Everybody gets a little bit different. But this isn't going to be a cash register, ring it up, Tecmo Bowl type offense.
It better not.
Well, and my point was going to be, and if it is, well, the defense, again, can't put the offense in a hole. But we've seen Indiana's defense give up, what, 49 to Ohio State? Mm-hmm. Or I can't count that high. 45 to Penn State. So those teams, though, have, I think, across the board, I don't want to say better players, but their offenses are better in those three departments.
They have more explosive players right now.
Quarterbacking, right.
I mean, Michigan has a couple running backs that are high quality.
Evans is a really good player.
Yeah, their quarterbacks don't compare to Trace McSorley and JT Barrett. They don't. And Taylor Lewerke, I think in a year he's going to be able to produce an awful lot of points with that offense. But right now he's going through the first ringer. So, you know.
Exactly right. So the Hoosiers have to, again, they have to do what they do best. And if that's not forcing turnovers, that's fine. They get off the field in third down. Mm-hmm. They need to get in the backfield. They've done a good job sacking the quarterback. I know a couple of those opponents will skew those numbers. Tom Allen even said those exact words today. They're 24th in the country in third down conversion defense. They're getting better. They're moving into those directions. And you saw against Penn State that it's a play here and a play there that got him into trouble. It wasn't a constant, we're going to out-physical you up front, run you over, run you down the field. That wasn't the way that Penn State got after Indiana. So it'll be interesting to see how that matchup comes about. But good news also, injury report today was minimal. We were talking about guys who are coming back next week, not who are being added to the list. So you always get nervous when a team, only one cut block on Saturday too. So one illegal cut block, excuse me.
One called.
And so Indiana gets out of there. Nate Hoff did not play on the weekend. He got some time off as well. But there was one cryptical answer that will make Indiana fans itch a little bit. Tom Allen in his quote, you can listen to all this stuff on YouTube. Just go to the Indiana University Athletics channel. We talked to one of our players. He will not play until he is healthy. And if I had to take my guess out of who that would be, I would guess Marcelino Ball. I would guess he wants to play if he's got half a leg, missing three fingers. He does not care. That's a complete guess on my part. That's complete.
Yes. Him and Hoff and Riggins were the three that were announced as sitting out.
But I could just see Ball, this dude wouldn't wear pads if you didn't make him wear pads. Yeah. He wants to get out there and get after it. And that's just a part, though. Again, I hope I'm completely wrong, and I hope it's Riggins. And everybody comes back. Anyhow, but those guys sound a little questionable, more doubtful this week. But that's not a huge surprise because we knew going into it after Ball was injured in the Georgia Southern game where he limped off.
Right.
That didn't look like something was just going to was going to heal in a week or
two. That looks serious.
1-1 Cubs base hit, score in the seventh. So there we are. There's your baseball update.
Well, see, that's why they have Bill Murray there.
Well, it worked. They get him up there to sing the song and you know.
You mock it, he get a run out of it. Maybe we all need Bill Murray.
And that's we all need more Bill Murray in our lives. So tie game there in Chicago, 1-1. And no more Max Scherzer either. That'll make Cub fans happier as well. And he's not very happy in the dugout, by the way.
He never is. We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Again, the Hoosiers victorious over the weekend. Charleston Southern filling in the former bye week as the Florida International game earlier this year was canceled because of the hurricane issues back then. So now you're looking at 3-2 for the Hoosiers. Remind you that the game before this was at Penn State. IU was outscored 45-14 in that game. Why do I bring that up? I bring that up for several reasons. The first one is the quality of opponent you're going to face this next week, Michigan, and probably at least two out of the next three after that. Michigan State, Wisconsin, and then you have to be at Maryland in there too. But this week, you're going to be at least up in that neighborhood. defensively, you're definitely going to be in that neighborhood. Offensively, no. They don't have the playmakers offensively right now that Penn State does. Indiana football fans are easily reminded, and will remind themselves, I'm sure, the minute I say this, that Michigan always finds a playmaker against Indiana when it comes to their offense. Somebody shows up out of the blue. But John O'Korn and Wilson Spate, you know, they haven't looked good against the Hoosiers the last couple of years. They haven't looked good a lot of times. But this Michigan offense has scored 33, 36, 29, and 28 points before the Michigan State game. That's against Florida, Cincinnati, Air Force, and at Purdue. Not a murderer's row, but at the least with Florida, you're talking about a pretty damn good defense.
Neutral game.
And those are points. I mean, those are not, you know, you won 17 to 10 games. You won 33 to 6 or 36 to 14. You won 33 to 17. I mean, they put 30 points up on four of those five games. So it's not as though they are incapable of scoring points. They are just not in a great position right now. The flip side of that is that Michigan's defense, and this is probably more important, has scored between or allowed between 10 and 17 points in all five games.
Lost they allowed one Purdue one first down in the second half on the road at Purdue. That's a little bit different than shutting out Charleston Southern.
That's with, I believe, 10 new starters on that defense.
Well,
that's not an exaggeration. Yeah, I believe that's right.
Their 10 new starters are from a different cut of cloth
absolutely,
than most
that's
of other
point.
People's.
But, yes. But it's that good. They show that many looks on you. They continue to press out wide because they continue to have defensive backs that can do it. They show all kinds of rush and blitz looks, and you're putting in a quarterback who's now got a week as a starter in the books, a couple more game time, you know, a play involved there.
But I will point out
it's
going to
be a baptism for Peyton Ramsey.
And Virginia showed multiple different looks as well.
They did.
Brock
Mendenhall. Virginia did a lot that time.
They did, and that was his first game, and that's probably a good taste of it. But Mike DeBoard mentioned that today. He said they run a 3-3 defense. They say they man up with you with the linemen, and they blitz linebackers heavy, and they shuffle, and they move, and they jump in, they jump out. They're going to do everything to twist up, confuse, and just, again, they if you're going to rush 6-on-5, I'm just doing some math here, that's not enough. You have five
you're
offensive linemen, and they have one more guy. So
well,
that's
right. Your quarterback.
But,
sure.
But that's to your point of if their cover corners – press up and do that to you, they don't need any help from linebackers dropping. They can attack you.
They're taking their chances.
They can attack you in different facets.
Look, Ohio State did the same thing. I mean, Ohio State does it more with the four defensive linemen because they've got, you know, eight of them that they play at those four positions. Michigan throws a lot of different looks
at you
in that regard.
And they were watching film. Last year, they played more 4-3 because of the personnel they had.
Yeah.
Big, heavy, lumbering space eaters. Now, it's more athletic,
some
quick,
true,
and everything else.
Truer ends. Right now, they got kind of hybrid type of guys.
And they're all big, and they're all fast.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that you'll have to keep an eye on. But, again, Michigan is Michigan in the sense that Indiana's played them really well the last few years. There hasn't been one of those games where you scratch your head and say, what happened? And that's been interesting because
double overtime here?
Well, remember, they needed 4th and 8.
Yeah, right.
Coach Allen was telling that story today.
That's right, into overtime.
Yeah, to get into overtime and then in double overtime.
That's right.
Mitchell Page didn't catch it or didn't get a good throw at the goal line or whatever that was. So there have been chances. There was another game they brought up as well, 2008 or 9. Tandon Doss was playing. Coach Allen said he was here to watch him. That was the game, if you remember, Indiana scored late and they threw the big bomb down the sideline to kick a field goal or score a touchdown to win it real late on that one. So there have been times to be in that. And I think where Michigan's issue is they probably want their defense on the field more than they want their offense.
They're scared.
And there's
of
something
their
to be said about that because the defense is going to get, the offense is going to give, and there is a difference in that. And I think this will be, and we'll do more on this Wednesday, obviously, but I think at first glance, this should be a style, I would think, that Indiana would prefer because you don't have the Trace McSorley-type quarterback that can beat you out of the pocket, can beat you multiple different ways. I haven't seen that from O'Korn, and O'Korn didn't. He scrambles better than Spate. That means Spate's the statue we saw at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah.
So that's interesting as well. But Indiana's got all week to prepare for it. They've got all week to get healthy as well. And Indiana has big physical receivers. And if that ball gets to somewhat near the right spot, you know, Taysir Mack's a 6'3 guy. Simi Cobbs is a 6'3 guy. Donovan Hale, when healthy, is a 6'4 type guy. Ian Thomas is a 6'5 guy. It's not like they're going to be pushed around and shoved around. Sure, Timian in the slot's a little bit different story, but that's usually a slot receiver. So Will the line hold up? Will the quarterback hold up? Will the defense come and finally give one of their signature performances against a level of that level team? That's what Indiana has to do, and it's never easy to beat really good teams, but they've been close. They've had the sniff. That's where breakthrough has come from. They've been close and close and close. Time to kick down the door. Well, it's at home. It's homecoming. It's noon. It's going to be 80 degrees and perfect. There's not a lot of, you know, oh, it rained. It was cold. We had snow. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Remember snow last year when right in the fourth quarter.
That's right.
It snowed like crazy. And I think it's going to be interesting. But the Hoosiers need all the bodies they can, and they – Mike DeBoard mentioned something I thought was really interesting today, too. He said, sure. He goes, of course it's going to be a challenge. He goes, it's Michigan football.
Right.
He goes, it's a challenge right. for our kids. He goes, it's a challenge for our coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Each week, how are you going to, you know what they're going to do. They think they know what you're going to do. It's a challenge to our staff to put our team in a position to win. So, interesting with the DeBoard Michigan tie, the Mike Hart Michigan tie, the Nick Sheridan. They had their own press conference with them today. So,
yeah.
It's nothing short of interesting. But this is, again, perfect weather, homecoming weekend. You talked about the Ohio State, some of the things falling together, falling into place. Indiana has to have a better showing than they did against Ohio State. They have to have a better mm-hmm. showing than they did against Penn State. I don't think that's hard to figure that out, but I don't think Michigan's in that level. I think they're close, but I don't think they're in that echelon maybe Penn State or Ohio State is.
I think their defense
yes,
is better
all around
than both. At least marginally. Now, both of those other defenses
Split
are pretty damn
hairs.
Good. Yeah.
First in the country in third down conversions is Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, here and there. They do a lot more exotic stuff, you know, as part of it, too. But offensively, no question. They don't have anywhere near the playmakers out wide, which is, you know, interesting that Jim Harbaugh hasn't, you know, surrounded himself with playmakers.
Or found a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the biggest difference right now is that the Indiana defense – should be able to keep them in it. And what Michigan will want to do is they will want to line up and punch you around a little bit and then throw play action on you. And that should not freak out the Indiana defense by any stretch.
No, it shouldn't. And neither should a steady diet of being physical either. Because you saw that with, I don't want to say, I'm not comparing Georgia Southern or Charleston Southern to Michigan. Don't get me wrong. But it was run.
Right.
You're in the trenches. You're in there fighting. You're getting hit every play. You're hitting every play. You're tackling every play.
Right.
Not a lot of plays off. Teams like to air it out where it's one step drop. You throw a go route. It's not there, go back and huddle up. So that they should be up for the fight. They should be interested in the fight, and I think that will be the case.
I still say that Peyton Ramsey is going to have to show that he can go down the field. It does not have to be the Simi Cobbs show like it was with Richard Lego.
But I'm fine with that.
Well, it'd be great if it was, but you know that was almost crazy. I mean, watching that game, I was like, oh, my God, again? Made it again.
Yep.
I mean, just over and over and over and over. You know, I don't think it's going to have to quite be that.
Cobbs had a great catch in the end zone this week, and they – perhaps took away from him. I'm not sure how that ruling went either.
Yes, that was a hell of a catch.
Hit his toe first, then his back of his foot hit. And yeah, if your toe hits, that should be touchdown, shouldn't it?
It's probably, you know,
it was reviewed.
Southern Conference officials or something.
It was reviewed. And but again, the point is you saw some flashes of that. You didn't see the whole book, and you'll see a lot more of the book on Saturday.
Generally speaking, you run the up-tempo offense in order to keep players from substituting in, but also to keep looks from happening. So I don't know if that will actually take away some of the exoticness of the Michigan defense or not. It would certainly be helpful if you could. So that is this coming weekend. We'll talk more about that game on Wednesday. Looking at other Big Ten play, again, you look down the line at the Hoosiers'
schedule.
At this point in time, you've got Michigan State, who, by the way, just walked into the Big House and beat Michigan on national television in their biggest game of the year.
Because D'Antonio's 8-3 in rivalry games, and Harbaugh's 1-4. I guess they're I don't know if that includes Michigan State and Ohio State. I would think so.
Yep.
But that was after Michigan State got pasted at home by Notre Dame. I mean, pasted.
Yeah.
They turned the ball over 400 times. They turned the ball over in the red zone. They turned the ball at the goal line.
I don't think they
scored
17 points in that game.
It was 38-10. They were washed. And again, they moved the ball okay, but every time they found fortune, they just would give it right back to Notre Dame. So, again, another team that's going up the ladder, going down the ladder, and they've had issues as well. That team was not very good last year. I believe they were 3-9 last season, and that's something
that was an aberration.
It was an aberration.
But it happened. I mean, that's just it. It did happen.
But look, Notre Dame is I don't think in the category of top 15, top 10 type teams.
They're a nice team.
They're beating Temple. They're beating North Carolina's Ophir. They're beating.
They're a nice solid team. I wouldn't have expected them to win by four touchdowns.
Well, that's what happens. That's my point. When you turn the ball over, you give yourself chances to do that. You score a touchdown, they fumble, and you get a short field. You score another touchdown. Mm-hmm. Well, wouldn't that be great to get some takeaways like that in some of these upcoming games, like you've mentioned, against some of these teams, to give Peyton Ramsey's offense a shorter field where you don't have to go 12 plays and 85 yards just to get a field goal. Mm-hmm. Those are the huge parts that can help, where the defense can help in multiple ways there. So when you look at Michigan State, that's down the road. Obviously, that's an away game as well. You go back on the road. Yep. You've been to Penn State. Now you go to Michigan State. Then you go to Maryland. Maryland's had quarterback problems. They were labeled by Ohio State in Columbus. I don't think that surprises. Was that the game?
Ohio State, Maryland? 62-14. And Ohio State's, at this point, trying to show that they really do have offense.
And one of Maryland's touchdowns was a 98-yard kickoff return.
Yeah. Maryland's kind of all over the map. Now, start with the quarterback situation.
The third one, and
be fair about it, because this is their third guy, and they didn't really expect him to be playing. They had two other kids who were dual threat kids who were lighting up the place. Remember, they started the season by putting 51 up at Texas.
And then had 63 the game after that.
They got pasted at home to UCF. And then they went and won at Minnesota. So, I mean, some interesting back and forth. Got their butts kicked by Ohio State. It's a game the Hoosiers certainly can win.
Yep.
But, again, every time I warn folks, just because Rutgers and Maryland, are around the neighborhood of Indiana doesn't mean we're a guaranteed win against those teams.
Indiana blew a 25-point lead against Rutgers in this stadium.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's competitive.
On a bright, sunny day.
It's over there. It's a chance to win, but it's still a difficult one. And then Wisconsin. Look, right now, that might be the hardest of these four games.
I hate
to say that with a Michigan game, but it's true. They are that good.
Yeah, Wisconsin's playing the best. Anybody that goes into Lincoln and just pounds Nebraska into submission with 200-something yards running from a back, and it's 38-17 at the end of it, that's something you have to take into consideration, because Wisconsin doesn't have any gimmicks. They don't have any pretenses. They're going to run the football. The quarterback's going to throw it a little bit. Yeah. But if you can't stop them running the ball, the kid that's running the ball for 200 and change is a true freshman.
Yep.
That's it. We've already seen J.K. Dobbins once.
Yep.
And now they have this other kid from New Jersey. I was reading about him today. Again, he's third nationally with 170 a game. So that system is that system. It doesn't matter if it's Paul Christ. It doesn't matter if Brett Bielema. It doesn't matter if it's Barry Alvarez.
And they have a good young quarterback. Like you said, they don't throw it all over the place.
But he went on the road and won it at Nebraska, so you got to get him full marks
pounded
there.
Pounded BYU out there. He barely had a ball hit the ground that day. I mean, he's accurate. He's left-handed. That's a really good football team right now, and their defense is good as usual.
And they don't have any major injuries they've been talking about. And again, when you play in the Big Ten, your crossover games this year are Wisconsin and Illinois. You always get Purdue, so you leave that one out. So of that division, you probably got help with Illinois.
No question.
They're not very good. You saw that on Saturday at Iowa. They were in that game for a minute at Iowa and then completely fell apart. They were on TV the other Friday with Nebraska in Champaign, and I think at 180 yards for the game. 28-6 at home, Illinois.
My opinion, you got the best team in that division and the worst team in that division. And then Purdue, we're not quite sure where they're going to fit in that division.
When we get there, right?
Yeah, that all has to flush out.
I think that goes back to your point. What Indiana and Michigan do could set an interesting tenor moving forward. If Indiana finds that breakthrough and beats Michigan, I think that could be the one that we've been talking about for I've lost track of how many years, because if that happens, it's not going to be on a 62-yard Griffin Oaks field goal at the buzzer. I don't think.
Look,
I think it's going to be a three-phase win if you beat Michigan. I don't think you fake it to beat Michigan. They're too big. They're too mean. They're too physical.
I've seen a lot of good things from Peyton Ramsey, but I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm. I'm not jumping out of the doors with enthusiasm, but I like a lot what I have seen. I just have to remember the fact that, the second half at Penn State, when you had a chance, to have a full half with a halftime to talk about going into that half.
Possession to cut it to
7. As the quarterback.
Right.
And then nothing happened. And then, you know, the defense, you know, eventually broke. But, you know, it's not as though something seized there and you challenged Penn State on a day when you should have been able to take advantage of their letdown from them coming off of Iowa. Not that you could have beaten them necessarily. I'm not saying you should have beaten Penn State in that game, but you saw nothing in the second half when it was all his show. In the time that you have seen him, he's looked very good otherwise. I mean, at Virginia, from the second quarter forward, that was excellent. And I still say you got to give that Virginia team a lot more respect than I think a lot of people did then.
5-1.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice team.
Won at Duke last week.
That is a nice team. And a defense that's got a lot of athletes on it. So when I look at Michigan, I think the only question is just how bad does the Michigan defense scramble Peyton Ramsey's brain? I hate to put it all on one dude, but when you see the Charleston Southern game and you see the fact that Indiana didn't try to work on their run game as a focus in this game, but instead threw the ball 41 times in three quarters, that tells you they're probably going to throw the ball a lot with Peyton Ramsey. Now, I know he can run better than Richard Lego, but they're still going to throw the ball a lot with Peyton Ramsey when they have the ball, which means it might go up 50 or 60 times just like it did with Richard Lego. And if that's the case, then it falls down to what does Peyton Ramsey see and where does he put the ball and do you fool him or not? And Michigan's defense likes to mess with him. They like to show all these different looks, and they can do that. If Peyton Ramsey's all over it, then, you know, there's every chance in the world to beat this Michigan team because it's not unbeatable by any stretch. The team the last couple of years has been better teams than this one.
And that's the challenge. And that's the offense they have chosen to go with moving forward, and we'll see if it happens.
Got to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Again, we're with you until 7:45 with Monday Night Football tonight. So back in a few minutes, we'll turn it over to the Colts and the NFL side of things. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the red zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you till 7:45. We'll return it over to pregame for Monday Night Football. Vikings are at Bears tonight. Looking forward to a part of the rest of the week. Thursday night returns the NFL to these airwaves with Philadelphia at Carolina, 8 o'clock on Thursday. Friday, we return to high school football, 6:30 Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock kickoff for South versus Perry Meridian. South will be hosting that. And then on Saturday, it is college football, 3 p.m. is pregame, 3:30 kickoff for Oklahoma versus Texas from the Texas Fair.
State Fair.
In Dallas. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. It was Peyton Manning Day up in Indianapolis, and the Colts led by 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Stop me if you've heard that story before.
Went to overtime.
Stop me if you've heard that story before.
But won the game on a 51-yard Adam Vinatieri field goal. I suppose that's why you have Adam Vinatieri still on
MVP.
Your roster.
MVP.
Exactly
MVP.
Right. Colts, as in several other games, did some good things. Did some good things for a while. Did some bad things for a time, at the very least. Jacoby Brissett, 22 of 34 through 314 yards. Unfortunately, he timed his one interception for about the worst time you possibly could.
Again.
But again, he only throws interceptions or fumbles a ball when it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, kind of on the other team's 40-yard line when you're going to punt anyways. Nope, it does it when you're going in to score the touchdown that makes it look like now you're going to lose the game in overtime.
At worst, getting a field goal
in
overtime.
Yeah.
At worst. And again, that's why you can talk about anything you want to talk about with Brissett. It's not the answer. He's not the answer.
No.
Go look up what Matt Castle did yesterday for Tennessee. He had a play because Marcus Mariota was out.
Mm-hmm.
Go look up his numbers. Matt Castle's been in the league for 100 years and played under Bill Belichick for half of them. He's not any good.
Yeah.
The reason they're backups is they're not any good. They can't win starting jobs. So when you sit there and you worry about it, here's how unconfident the Colts are, and you can surmise this as play calling. You can surmise this as a confidence thing. You can surmise it as trying to be whatever they are or are not. They're trying to throw a reverse pass on a punt 40 yards across the field. They're playing Frank Gore at Wildcat quarterback. These are things that happened yesterday in a National Football League against a winless team.
Yeah.
At home on Peyton Manning Day.
And neither of them worked.
None of them worked.
In fact, they both almost resulted in turnovers.
It's unbelievable. Gore fumbled the Wildcat. They fumbled the lateral pass to Krishan Hopkins and break his knee in 100 places. He's done for the year with a torn ACL.
It wasn't on that play, but it was a different play. But
it was the next time you played on special teams. You're right. But the point is, they're pulling out this stuff to beat an 0-4 49ers team that scored zero offensive touchdowns on the road so far this year. Okay, so where do you go from here? Well, here's the good news, because we try to find you some good news on a Monday. Marlon Mack, okay. Here's one thing I know. He can run against 0-5 49ers. That's good.
He can outrun guys that are out of position because he was already blasted at the actual design of the play.
Right. And kicked so it outside and ran around the corner.
He can kick it the other direction and hit some space because he's fast.
Jacoby Brissett does two things well. He throws a really nice ball, and he throws a really bad ball. There is no in-between. He makes great throws that are in guys' hands, or he's not even close to where he's going.
He makes some decent decisions when running the ball.
Win in the NFL running the ball.
I understand that. I'm saying if you can make a play or two here or there, the problem is you've got no consistent running game. Again, Marlon Mack ran in this game because he made it up when stuff was blasted. Now, one of them – that's not quite fair. I mean, the one run he had where,
they designed him to get to the corner and they blocked down.
It's a zone run to the left, and he sees a guy get off a block. There's always a cutback lane there. You've seen Wisconsin run this play for the last 30 years, and they're killing you on it all the time. That is what it's there for if you got the vision to get there. The other one was literally reversing field and outrunning four guys to the sideline, and that was ridiculous that he could make it happen, but he did. But they don't have a consistent running game.
They because don't, of and that, it's not Frank Gore.
Yeah, because of that, the quarterback is, you can get some little stuff here and there, and he can buy a little time and chuck it downfield and hope, T.Y. Hilton catches this one and brags about it. There's no plan to it. There's no consistency to it. There's nothing you can count on.
Nope, and the thing is, we see every single game is everybody is making crucial mistakes.
Yeah.
There was a play in this game where on consecutive plays, and I'm writing all this down because I'm losing my mind watching it. T.Y. Hilton, illegal block in the back, knocks out a screen pass. Frank Gore false starts the next play. Frank Gore had two false starts in the game and two fumbles.
Yep.
Two false starts and two fumbles.
Yeah.
Again, that's not the answer. T.Y. Hilton drops a perfect Brissett pass, which you don't get a lot of perfect Brissett passes.
Yeah.
I mean,
perfect.
Through the wickets.
50 yards.
50 yard shift the field, scoring play type.
Big time. Yeah.
Or worse, you're getting a field goal out of that.
And by design, by the way, that was not a scramble.
No.
Like the one he did catch was Brissett scrambling around and just chucked it down the field.
Which he did make up for that. I'll give him credit. But the point is,
on the design play, one right there is Brad. I mean, if you're designing a play that works perfectly and it goes right into your best player's hands and he can't catch it.
And that didn't happen. And remember, the Colts' lateral play was after San Francisco's second drive when they went three and out. So this wasn't some momentum switcher down 17-3.
Right.
This was in the mindset of, we're going to do this early and get this stuff boogieing. Well, I mean, that just blows your mind, because what it tells you is they can't run the ball at will. They can't move the football with any consistency, whether it's through the passing game, scrambling game, rollout game, you name it. They've got to try to hit you on a big play like that. And that's fine and good when it works. The funny thing was, San Francisco was punting from their own end zone. The Colts got the ball in their own 25-yard line. So your defense does a job by pinning them. And
you don't get good field
Brave fields it at the 35, turns and throws it backwards. It gets docked down to the 25. So you shift the field for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what bad football teams do. Bad football teams let other bad football teams out of position. They get them off schedule. They get them off everything. And what did the Colts see on tape that said, we better jump around with the 49ers because they're, 5-0 and Jerry Rice and Roger Craig and Joe Montana are on the tape? If you can't line up and get after a team that has scored zero road touchdowns, none, nil, nada, I can't sit here and tell you it's good.
Yeah.
I can't sit here and tell you it's working. I can't sit here and tell you. If you think Jacoby Brissett's the answer, there are people in Indianapolis that are saying trade Luck and keep Brissett. In your lifetime.
Well, they're idiots.
You go to the eye doctor. Do something.
Yeah.
Can you please do something? Because scrambling and throwing the ball downfield and having T.Y. miss it and T.Y. catch one is two plays. You don't live in the NFL on two home runs.
Right.
You need singles. You need doubles. You need to walk. You need to take some pitches.
Right.
You need to run between the tackles. You need to get third and two and third and one. And how bad is Tom Brenneman doing football? He's screaming at the top of his lungs. Can't understand why Frank Gore's not in the goal line situation.
Yeah,
Tom, have you watched one play of the Colts in the last 5 years?
He did that with the 49ers all night long.
And well, he stood up and yelled, where's Gore at the goal line?
Chris Spielman's really smart, but I'm a little tired of listening to any of these guys tell you how much they know, the plays, or at least the strategy that ought to happen.
Robert Turbin runs every goal line situation for the Colts.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single one. Frank Gore fumbled all the time last year in the goal line situation. And you just pile all this stuff up. And Brissett, you can talk about straight gross numbers, and this is where statistics never pan out.
Mm-hmm.
In winning time, Colts with a 14-point lead, 9:50 to go in the game, their defense for the third time at home doesn't get anything done. We'll get to them in a minute.
Exactly right.
But Jacoby Brissett, in those drives, and I've got them right here. I've got them all. I wrote them all down because I was hot and I was bothered.
Did nothing.
He didn't get him a field goal.
Yeah.
Nothing. He didn't get him a score of any kind.
Nothing.
Well, don't tell me he's a great quarterback because he's 22 of 30 for 315 and T.Y. caught 177 yards of balls.
Well, I don't know.
Kill the game off. Can
I don't know
you please?
Who's telling you he's a great quarterback.
I'm not. That's the point. The point is people want this guy to play.
People saw half a football in relief of Scott Tolzien
and thought this problem was solved.
Is the answer That's for the a bad football team waiting for its best player? And again, we say it again, the problem is going to be when its best football player comes back, there's still going to be a bad football team. That's going to be the problem. The offensive line still cannot get it done. Jacoby Brissett can move pretty well. He got sacked four times. The running game did not get going. Again, if it's not for Marlon Mack making a lot out of two runs, and I'll give him one run as a play that's reasonable. The other one was ridiculous and great for him. I mean, it's great to have, don't get me wrong, but you're not going to get a lot of those ridiculous plays.
Colts last drive.
Again, you cannot plan chaos as your strategy. It's nice if you can throw it out there occasionally, but it's not a strategy.
Colts last drive, 23-16, 8 minutes to go, first and 10 on their 25. 10 yards to T.Y., get it going. Boom, first down you go. Next play, false start, Frank Gore. First and 15.
There you go.
That's your veteran 35-year-old doesn't know snap count for the second time that night. So guess what? You're off schedule. Third and 7. My notes here. Great protection. Poor pass. Third and 7. You got to make a play. You're the quarterback. Third and 7. You don't run the ball between the tackles. Third and 7.
Right.
And if you have great protection and make a bad throw.
At third and 7, don't make a huge mistake.
Great. But again,
but you're not getting anywhere on first and second down. I mean, that's your problem.
Yep.
In football, you're not. I mean, third and 7 is a hard down to convert. It is. Fans go, oh, you got to do that. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, yes, you'd like to, but the odds are you need to be doing something on first and second down. And if you got a false start that sets you back, that's messing you up. You can't. That's why you can't make those mistakes. I mean, that's why they say don't beat yourself.
Yeah, and that's not Marlon Mack making that mistake.
Right.
And that's not Krishan or whatever the guy.
Yeah, Hogan. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's not him doing it. That's tough. And the problem with all of this is Hilton's dropping passes, and Gore's committing penalties, and Hilton's committing penalties.
Yep.
And it's all the big players making the bad plays.
Right.
So you can't sit there and say, oh, well, it's not T.Y.'s fault. Well, yeah, it is.
It is. He's in
it absolutely is. Sure. Guess what takes pressure off everybody when you make a play?
Right.
And does T.Y. make great plays? He sure does. Is T.Y. sums up the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
They'll hit you for something big, and they won't make the easy one.
Right.
And that gulf is too large,
and
in between there is where it needs to be.
And we haven't talked about the fact that
he
let a guy go through him to knock the ball away from him
at the goal line.
On the goal line that would have been a touchdown and turned into a field goal.
Guy loves it.
That's 4 points. Now, when you're in a physical situation and they're giving it to you and squeezing it into a tight spot, which, by the way, Jacoby Brissett put it in the perfect spot for him to be able to catch it with a guy on his back.
Got to make plays.
Got to make a big play.
Frank Gore can't fumble twice.
That might be why a lot of people were surprised when they picked the kid at 5'10 or whatever the heck he is in the first round. Again, you know, he's a nice player to have.
The
problem is you need a Reggie Wayne or somebody who's going to make those big strong plays for you as much, if not more so.
It's the league where you play for pay. And if you don't like the criticism, make plays. That's not hard to figure out at all. Because when you're 2-5 or 2-3, You're only game out of first. Yeah, Jacksonville intercepted Ben Roethlisberger five times. I'm going to read you a little something from that because I got a great line for you. Yeah. We talked about it last week.
What's happening with Pittsburgh?
It gets a little crazier than that. Cubs win 2-1. That's a final in Chicago.
Hey,
there you go. That just happened. Final out there.
Do we barbecue the goat now?
We're going to barbecue the Colts defense when we come back. Because, well, that's easy. Again, 14-point lead for the, second time?
A good goat stew? I mean, come on.
I don't have any.
That's hard to do.
Indian food, right? That's part of it.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Again, we're with you until 7:45. Vikings and Bears is Monday Night Football tonight, so 7:45 will be pregame. And we will be back with you in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Red Zone. You're back in the Red Zone here with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. We're with you until 7:45. Pregame for Monday Night Football takes over. Vikings are at Bears tonight. Next week, the Colts will be on Monday Night Football. They'll be on the road at Tennessee because it's a Colts broadcast next week. It'll take over at 7:30 because we take Bob Lamy in the full hour. And they can talk about the running game and the defense and all those other things about the Colts.
And we'll
this
get
weekend.
You a preview for that as well next Monday night. So we'll have you covered any way you look at it. And the Colts not covering themselves with much glory, Dave, as for the third consecutive home game. They had a 10-point lead with Arizona in the fourth quarter. They had
two touchdowns. Both of them, weren't they?
I think it was 10 to Arizona because it was 13-3. It was only 16-13 at the
Arizona,
end.
Arizona, that's correct.
Well, it went to overtime. The Cleveland, they led, 28-14 at half, 31-14 at one point.
Yeah, 28-7.
And then it was 31-28, Cleveland with the ball with 30 seconds left or something. And then yesterday, the 49ers, who had not scored a road touchdown all year long, were trailing 23-7 or 20, whatever that math is to be two touchdowns behind. It was 14 points. 23-9, because all I can do is kick field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow get two touchdowns in the fourth quarter against the Colts defense. And the stat you had last week was the worst scoring defense in the league is the Indianapolis Colts.
Yep.
Well, giving up 28 points or whatever, 23 points to San Francisco isn't going to help that number at all because just San Francisco's not any good. They held Brian Hoyer, the traveling quarterback, 29-46, 353, and two touchdowns. And, again, this mantra of get a big fourth quarter lead, pin your ears back, and get after it. You saw the Niners go down for their first touchdown drive in about 90 seconds, and then the final touchdown drive was 100 plays, took off 5 minutes and 20 seconds of the clock.
14 plays, 89 yards.
Come on.
509 scored with, 20 seconds left?
Yeah, they started on their own 11-yard line. It's not like they had the ball at midfield, and the Colts just had a bend and bend without breaking. But it goes back to everything we've talked about. Rashad Melvin has a pick in that drive that could seal the game, and he drops it.
Mm-hmm.
Vontae Davis, again, I understand he's only in his second game back. He gets a break because he's shown me over 9 years he can play at a high level.
Right.
But he's not making the plays Vontae Davis usually makes. He's not there yet.
He's sticking his nose in, but not the ball plays.
Two sacks, no turnovers from the Colts defense, and 23 points. I mean, that's the nuts and bolts of it. And when you're getting beat by Brian Hoyer, who has led his team to zero road touchdowns, and a rookie tight end that is causing you problems. Nice player, kid's from Iowa.
Kid played.
Great.
Told you off the air. The kid made some plays down the stretch that were pretty fantastic.
But Pierre Garçon has his way with your secondary.
The play that he made on the scoring touchdown, where he catches the ball in the slant and then makes sure to jump up in the air high enough so his knees are not going to touch, so he can shove the ball across the line. Again, the guy made a couple nice plays. But the defense, you're exactly right. I mean, 14 plays, 89 yards, takes the last 5 minutes off the clock to tie up.
It's not Brent Jones.
You got to do something.
It's not Dwight Clark.
No, he's got to do
something. It's a rookie tight end who's just tearing the Colts to pieces. And timeouts don't work. I mean, they had penalties on the goal line, San Francisco. Backed them up, and they still got in the end zone.
Yep.
And, again, The play where you see Davis, Vontae Davis, gets sucked in, he's going to jump the run, and the tight end sneaks right behind him on a big play. It was fourth and two after a timeout. So you should be going over all these things. And Davis is trying to do what? He's trying to do two different jobs instead of his own job. And when you don't get guys doing that, the pass rush, you let Brian Hoyer throw for 353 yards. I mean, that tells me the pass rush isn't good. That tells me the secondary has been suffering as well.
They held San Francisco to 66 yards on 22 rushes. So that is one thing they did well. But you mentioned, I mean, two sacks. We knew this team did not have a lot of pass rushers.
Carlos Hyde didn't play for 2.5 quarters.
Yeah. I mean, there's two guys that they trust with the pass rush. They put in the entire second team defensive front. And then when it comes to third and, you know, like about 8 or 9, they put in the two pass rushers and Sheard and Simon. Again, they're fine players, but they're not Mathis and Freeney. I mean, they're not. So, you know, two sacks all day long on Hoyer.
And we're seeing they're not. That's the other problem, because everybody now, five games in, has had a chance to contribute, a chance to get their feet
they're
wet.
They're all playing a lot.
A chance
on
to
defense.
Win their zone, and they've all played.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing that jumps off the page where you say, hey, this is good. Now you want the good news?
Sure.
One game out of first.
Yeah. Something. You know why?
Welcome.
You know
Welcome.
Why? Nobody in this league, in this division, Welcome. Other than Jacksonville, can play defense. The Colts have 159 points against. The next worst, there's two teams tied for worst.
Wait a second. Colts are number one.
Yes.
On your program, in your hearts, and everywhere
else.
There
are two teams tied for next worst. Patriots are one of them, and the Tennessee Titans are the other one. And then one of the next worst.
I heard Tennessee
best,
Titans in there.
Yeah, is are the Houston Texans at 130. So, I mean, that's the nice part, is there's not a ton of defense in this particular division.
No, there's not. And the Jacksonville Jaguars had a nice game in London where they held, I believe, 14 points or 7 points to the Ravens.
Baltimore, I think it was 7. Yeah.
They go on the road yesterday and pick off Ben Roethlisberger 5 times, run 2 of those back for touchdowns. When Blake Bortles can go 2 for 1 million and they not even throw for 100 yards and they win by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That tells you that they're doing something. Bortles was 8 of 14 for 95 yards. Leonard Fournette had a 90-yard touchdown. So that's one. You had two pick sixes. That's 21 of your 30. The other 3 were field goals. Let's not get carried away with Jacksonville.
5 interceptions.
Shall we? Here's the recap. Remember I was making fun of him last week? People saying, oh, this Jacksonville team, they might be for real.
Yeah.
The recap starts
they're
off
in
with
this division.
Well, I mean, if you want to go with that, I'm not gonna get you. It says right here, the new look Jacksonville Jaguars just might be for real. These are the same Jaguars who lost to the Jets, who have now won 3 in a row, by the way. The Jaguars lost in New York to the Jets last week, but thankfully this week they were for real after they beat the Ravens and they lost to the Jets. Now they're for real because Ben Roethlisberger threw them a couple cookies. Okay. That's the good news. J.J. Watt broke his leg last night, for those of you who didn't stay up to watch.
Yep.
Houston has problems. Houston also has a rookie quarterback who's playing great, but that rookie quarterback did not win the game last night.
Right.
He has great numbers, but you know what? We just went through a bunch of great Jacoby Brissett numbers as well. And if you're not winning football games, Jacoby Brissett did. That's fine.
Chiefs are undefeated. And, oh, by the way, they're not a lot of good-looking teams in the NFL right now.
They're not.
They just aren't. Chiefs are undefeated. The Broncos are 3-1. Everyone else in the AFC is 3-2 or worse.
And the Colts are 2-3.
Yeah.
So they are right the middle of it.
Three-way tie for second place in the AFC South. That's the nice part.
It's a funny old game, isn't it?
You do have a chance, especially in the AFC South. You usually do.
But here's the issue. Tennessee is playing their backup quarterback. They said after yesterday's game, Mariota is not close. Hamstring issue, that never takes a week to heal.
Right.
Never.
Oh.
So that's Matt Cassel. J.J. Watt's done for the year.
And they're already giving up a ton of points anyways.
Yeah, and Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
And find me the backup there.
No, what's interesting about Jacksonville is they can run it and have defense. I mean, that's the interesting thing about that.
And
now,
the,
you mentioned one of their losses is the Jets.
Jets, where they scored no points.
No, everyone's
scoring
good.
Points. And they didn't score any points against Pittsburgh either.
No, Jets in 3-2.
Well, they had they've won 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Go figure that out. But the point is Jacksonville's offense did nothing in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. So that's good. Whatever. Here's what I know. The Colts could possibly be getting the best player in the division back.
Yeah, and no question.
And that moves them forward. That's not are they going to hurry Mariota back? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? That's the beauty of the NFL. Every week there is an absolute sideshow of something on the field, let alone off the field, that you have to pay attention to because these teams adjust. There are so many average teams that they're all running into each other at 3-2 and 2-3.
Yeah.
Who have you seen that's good? The Packers. They go to Dallas, get a huge win. They were down 17 points in that game.
The Chiefs look really good.
Chiefs look very organized and Andy Reidian, which is tasty. The Patriots are 3-2.
They're 3-2.
Lost twice at home.
Yep.
They're
the opposite of the South. Their whole division's 3-2.
A little bit backwards.
Buffalo's got an interesting win. Philadelphia's 4-1. Carolina's
4-1. Miami's 2-2 and haven't scored 20 points in a game.
Carolina's got that impressive win at New England.
They have 3 on the road. 3-0 on the road, or Carolina. Yeah. They won in Detroit yesterday. So those are things that jump off the page. But the point is, the Colts in their division don't have somebody that's 5-0.
Yeah.
Where they're 3 games that's back. Right. It's not the case.
Because it's the South.
It's the South. It's
you
beautiful.
Never have somebody who's
Buffalo good, and New England, 3-2, and Denver, or Kansas City. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's all to play for. So you get mad at the Colts? I do. Because the problems they've claimed to address haven't been. They can't run the football.
Yeah.
They can't stop the football from being shoved down their throat at winning time. It's the fourth quarter.
They're worse at those positions. That's the problem. I mean, their defense, you've got stretches. But like you said, I mean, this is twice now. You've had double-digit leads late in the game.
Three
you can't hold on to it.
Well, they did hold one of them, but they'd let Cleveland come back and come back and come back. They haven't put out any fires when they need to. Now, the optimist in me will say, okay, you've had your worst part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You've beaten 2-0-whatever teams.
Right.
That's what you should do.
And you've got your best player coming back.
And you got your best player coming back. Nobody really wins in Seattle. You can live with that. You don't want to give up 400 points in the second half like they did.
Rams are a surprise
team. Rams are
team.
Not as bad as everybody thought they would be. Did the Rams win yesterday?
No, they lost.
That came to a quick halt.
You weren't supposed to ask about that, but that was to the Seahawks. So.
But they did. They lost to the Seahawks. Arizona, only 2 wins are against the Colts and 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen a little of this, a little of this, a little of that. If that 5-game stretch we just spoke about is the worst they play all season long, they won't be bad.
That's arguably the worst part of their schedule, though.
Until Houston has no J.J. Watt?
Well,
until Mariota can't play at Tennessee?
I mean, that's the good news, I suppose. You get your whole division
I'm trying to spin this in a proper
direction.
You go
to Cincy.
After
you
throwing
the Steelers
them on the
here.
Cincinnati's just like the Colts.
Yeah.
Up and down
you
and nowhere
go to the
in
Bills.
Again?
You got the Broncos here. You go to the Ravens.
Okay. I mean, none of these teams jump off the page where you say, you're done.
No, that's true.
Again, this isn't – it could be worse, and it might be. That's the other side of that coin. I told you I was trying to be positive here. If those are the worst 5 games, the Colts will be okay.
Let's see what they look like with Andrew Luck.
Who?
The question is when.
If they're 2-8 in week 10, I don't care.
The question is when, and it keeps getting longer.
He's throwing.
He threw with kids, 5-year-olds on the sidelines, what it looked like. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. We're with you just here for about 5 more minutes. We'll turn you over to Monday Night Football's pregame. The game tonight kicks off around 8:30. It's Vikings at Bears. We got NFL returning on Thursday night. 8 o'clock is pregame for Philadelphia at Carolina. Very good Carolina. Well, both teams, Philadelphia and Carolina, both, I think, combined 2 losses. And then Friday night, we have senior night on the south side. As the South Panthers look to close the regular season with a win, they got Perry Meridian coming to town, who just got their first win of the season at home against Terre Haute North. So that'll be Chalk Talk 6:30 and kickoff at 7 o'clock for that.
And speaking of Bloomington South, the Girls South sectional final was moved to today after a wet Saturday night. And with 24 minutes left, South Panthers 2, Terre Haute South. Who are the Braves, North or South?
Braves are South.
So South and South.
Patriots are North.
2-1, 24 minutes left. South, the good South.
Our South.
Leading their South.
There you go.
Looking for a sectional championship. So there you go. We'll get you the full details tomorrow morning. Look, it's Mitch Trubisky. The Bears have, they signed Glennon and you did this and then. And that's your Monday night.
The nice part about Mitch Trubisky, he's from the town both my parents were born and grew up in. Yeah, Mentor, Ohio. You know, look.
How did he get to North Carolina?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You should ask your parents.
I have no idea. Well, I probably have and forgot. The problem in the NFL that you've seen multiple times is a guy who has barely played throughout his career. He was a one-year starter at North Carolina, and only during his third year did he start. That's the only reason he ended up in the NFL draft at that point is because he kind of blew up and everybody went, you know what,
potential.
You kind of got to go. Yeah,
potential.
And he's like, oh, crud. Okay, yeah, I guess I will.
Because you should sit on a bench for a couple years, learn how to play quarterback, learn how to watch film, learn how the NFL works, or get thrown into week five. You pick.
Well, in college, do it for a while in college first and then go into the NFL. And if you're a stud, okay, then come in right away and you Deshaun Watson because you've been doing it for 3 or 4 years already. But instead, the Chicago Bears is just as ineptly run as the Colts are frequently. They don't have any kind of quarterbacks that they can put in there for a little while Trubisky is in there. And if you want a rabid
Lennon?
Fan base that's going to attempt to force you to do the stupid stuff with a high-ranked quarterback or highly drafted quarterback, it's that one. They're not the only one, but you
this
see this way too often.
Big night for former Indiana Hoosier Jordan Howard.
Yeah, well, you would think so.
Well, he's going to get a lot of care. I didn't say a lot of yards. This is a big night, big workload night, because that's what you do in those situations, right? You try to establish the running game, take a little heat off the brand new quarterback, see if
Minnesota Vikings have given up 76 points so far. That is, now granted, they've played one game less than most of the NFC, but that is the lowest point total so far. That's a good number in the NFL right now, by the way, even though it is one less game. But still.
Dalvin Cook going to play? He's got knee problems, doesn't
he? No, I thought he hurt his leg.
Yeah, I think he's
week.
Done. They thought it was an ACL. I never saw the results
out.
On that.
Yeah.
So Bradford is back at quarterback. That's interesting. He seems to play well. It's on the road. It's outdoors on grass in Chicago. From
that's
the baseball game, it looked to be a perfect day in Chicago. They shouldn't have any weather issues tonight. Their 8:30's kickoff. It's the Vikings and the Bears.
And that's coming up here in just a few minutes, so don't go anywhere. Music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. So tune in then, folks. You've been in the zone.